done. Colossians chapter 1, as we said earlier, was we had a good service last week. Appreciate the youth choir, man, they sang great. I thought they sounded good. Just they handled the whole thing. Brianna had to fill in last minute. William wasn't feeling well. She had to jump up and do the announcements and things and lead the singing. She really wasn't prepared, but she did good. I was surprised. You never know what somebody can do. And it's good to get the youth active. Damien had a good message, a great message, and did a good job with that. Told me later, he said, man, I really struggled trying to get my words together and everything, but that happens, you know. But he got it out. Good message. And we're thinking about Thanksgiving. Damien didn't necessarily have a specific Thanksgiving message. And, you know, I Thanksgiving's great because, I mean, for us as Christians, and we know to be thankful every day. I think that's, you know, we should be thankful every day. We've got this day set aside and just really to emphasize it. And I'll talk to you a little bit about that in Colossians chapter 1. And all the way down, start at verse 12. The Bible says there, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Heavenly Father, again, we just come to you in prayer now that your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray we're ready to hear from you. And Lord, we desire your presence among us today. Lord, you felt presence, Lord, here. There may be somebody here lost today as not sure about their salvation. And boy, what a day to be saved and really understand what Thanksgiving's all about. And so we commit that to your care today. And we just trust you for what's going to be done. Help us get out of the way that you can be seen. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I said, you know, I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had a good Thanksgiving, and we understand what it means. But when we come to certain holidays, Christmas in particular, Thanksgiving as well, I always kind of wonder where, like, different groups of people's heads might be at. You know, just what are they thinking? What does it mean to them? Or, you know, when you think about it, I think about what is Thanksgiving, to other people. Like, what is the atheist, what do they think about Thanksgiving? I mean, they may be thankful for things. You know, I'm not saying this in a funny way. I just mean that, you know, we can be thankful, we can be grateful, but not have those thanks or gratefulness directed towards anybody. You know, we're just glad it happened. It's like, thankful for life. I mean, I guess if you don't believe in God, an atheist would be thankful that a couple of amoebas got together somewhere down the road and that they created, you know, humans came out of that, if that's what they think. They have to be thankful for something like that. And, you know, we think about there's a lot of things that even we are thankful for. Along with directing our thanksgiving to God, we are thankful for our family. I'm thankful that my family lives close together, although this Thanksgiving we were a little bit separated. As Danielle and Brian had gone up to where Sherry's stepdad and the rest of the family lives, and we went down to Grayson County down there. That normally doesn't happen, but we see each other regularly. My family's close by. I can see Danielle and Brian's house from our house in the winter. They're right there. The grandkids can come up. Walk up to the house and go back down, and Kyle and Murray live close by, and I'm thankful for that, and a lot of people are thankful for their family, and we have the get-togethers, you know, we have the dinner, man, football on Thanksgiving Day, man, we get to enjoy that and be with our family, and those type things. But when we think about to whom or where the blessings come from that we have to be thankful for, you and I, we understand that. We do. I just always wonder what other people What do they think about Christmas? I mean, is it Santa Claus? Maybe I should save this for a Christmas message. But is it Santa Claus and reindeer and presents and that? Or, you know, we also celebrate, you know, we know the birth of Christ. I mean, we think about that. And so sometimes I think if there's not a whom in our thanks, to whom do you give thanks? Or to somebody in that category, to whom does the atheist say that doesn't believe in God, whom do they give their thanks to? It's just that it happened, you know, just being thankful. Gratitude, you know, so there's a difference. You know, we can be grateful, but not have it directed towards someone. And I'm just wondering about that in my mind, where what people think about as they sit down on Thanksgiving, like the tradition is in our country to, you know, have a dinner and on Thanksgiving Day. And we even think about our Thanksgiving as Christians that we should know. When we think about this, when we get a little bit deeper, are we thankful, and we should be thankful, but are we thankful for the right reasons? You know, the right reasons to be thankful. So I just got a couple, actually I only got 2 points today that I want to share with you and try to talk about that when we think about it. To kind of tie in with Damien's message that Damien spoke about last week, wasn't on purpose, but the way it worked out, Damien was speaking about humility. Well, in order to be thankful, I believe a person has to be humble. You know, we have to realize that, you know, we didn't get it ourselves. We weren't entitled to it. Everything we got, we didn't earn. Like some people say, well, I remember the boy that grew up next door to us, and his mom and dad were good Christian folks. And this, you know, this guy, as he grew up, he just couldn't see. He said, you know, I worked hard for everything I've got, and, you know, and all this and that. And he didn't want to acknowledge that anything came from God somehow. And his parents were Christian people, and they would try to point this out, and it's true. Listen, your next breath came from God. Your next heartbeat came from God. The strength that you have, I know from being the chaplain over all those years at the Bryan Center. Listen, there's people a lot younger than you and I, and this would apply to anybody that's in here. There's people that are not as fortunate. It's not as blessed, with health. They don't have good health. I mean, there's people 40 years old, been bedridden for 10, and they're still in there, and they're never probably going to get out of the bed. And I mean, I don't take that for granted. We think about it. So even though we do work, and the Bible tells us that because of the curse of sin, that we're going to earn our bread, our money, by the sweat of our brow. You know, that's what we're to do. But God's the one that gives you the strength to go to work. God's the one that gives you certain gifts, certain skills that you may have to be able to work to provide for your family. And so it's still, we have to be humble to think, hey, you know, without God, listen, we couldn't do anything. Or listen, your health can be gone in so fast. Your mind, which it's going, the mind can be gone so fast. We have to understand that. And so we should recognize that all that we have, every gift, every talent, every breath, every heartbeat, it just comes from God. And I don't take that for granted. I share this with y'all all the time. I thank God for my health. I get around as good as I do. We ran into a guy out there. Kyle and I met this man. It was 21 years ago, maybe. Up in this beech tree flat up behind the campground where we used to camp, and we hadn't seen him. The campground got closed. We hadn't seen him in a couple of years. But he had a couple of old. He had another old truck. He had a '69 Chevy pickup truck. He had an old blue one and everything, and that thing got. He drove it so long, he said, man, it got to where when he went over the speed bumps in the campground, a bolt would fall out of it. So he had another one, and we had seen the other one before. We had lost kind of contact on our camping trips. This year, I saw his truck parked with a wall tent. He always had a wall tent. I told him, that's Eddie over there. We'll go see Eddie. Went to talk to him. Eddie, I said, how old are you, Eddie? He said, I'm 71. And I said, well, let's see, Kyle was about 12 years old when we met him. I had Kyle up there, a young boy just going deer hunting. We met, and it's 20-some years, man. 20 years ago, you're 51 years old. 20 years later, you're 71 years old. And I'm going to tell you what, in my them 20 years went by in a hurry. Kyle was 12, now he's 33. I said, it goes by. But, you know, thank God that we still have the health that we have. And I always thank God. I just thank God for my health that I have. I don't take it for granted. I mean, yeah, I got some arthritis. I got aches and pains and you know, like anybody that would be my age, but thankful for that. You know, we think about, there's things that we can develop. God gives us talents in life. There's just certain things in sports. I like sports. I played football. I ran track. And, you know, I could run. And I mean, I wasn't a long-distance runner. I had some speed. And they say this in football, you know, you can teach a lot of things, but you can't teach speed. You either got it or you don't. Now, you can develop it, though. You know, speed can develop. I remember in high school, there was this kid. His nickname was Butterbean. Matter of fact, I don't know what his real name was. And Butterbean was he was a little stocky, kind of a pudgy kid. But the guy could run like lights out, man. I mean, this guy could fly. And I said, hey, Bean, I said, How do you run so fast? Man, you just don't look like a sprinter, you know? He said, well, my uncle told me, he said, don't think about but two things. He said, picking them up and putting them down. That's all you got to think about. And I started thinking about that. And I started, how fast can you pick them up and put them down? When I've got one down, I'm thinking about getting the other one up, huh? And man, I tell you what, it helped me. And so you develop it. I was a track star, you know, at high school. You get in the blocks. When you come out of the blocks, this is something they work on you with. It's a lot to coming out of the blocks. And I tell you, when I learned how to get practice that, one time there was some girls that was pretty fast in the school, and one of the PE teacher wanted us to run against some men. So this one girl, she got over here, and I got in the starting blocks, man. And when they fired that thing, man, she was from here to you, out ahead of me, man. Boom, she went out of there like she was shot out of a cannon, man. I caught up with her and passed her down there 100-yard dash. I said, man, there's something to it. Work for hours. You can develop it. But I'm going to tell you what, but you got to have it to start with. You got to have something developed. That comes from God. You get the talents, whatever talents that you have. Listen, there's people that are inclined to music. And there's some people, I'm telling you what, you couldn't teach them. You might teach them to play something, an instrument, basic, but they just ain't going to get the hang of it. You know, they just don't have it. I mean, there's people that, I know, you remember when we went to Bible camp, Jasmine, Dominique, good to see y'all here today. But we went to Bible camp, remember Jonathan? That guy sat down, he was down there at the piano one day. He was sitting at the piano just playing away. I said, wow, man, that's awesome. I said, how long you been playing music? Oh, about 6 months. I said, you read music? No. He said, he just sat down and started fooling. I couldn't do that. God had given him something that nobody else had, and so we can be thankful for that. You know, we live in this world today. We're living, it's where people are proud and boastful, and that's one thing about sports that aggravates me. You know, I don't like that. Man, people go in there, I mean, they're paying them $1 million and, you know, whatever, millions of dollars to defend the pass. If you're a defensive back, which is probably the hardest position to play, you pay you millions of dollars to defend the pass, and the guy finally does, after the other guy done scored 3 touchdowns, you know, 10 catches on him, he finally blocks one down, you know, finally gets in there and makes a play, and then he's dancing around and doing all this stuff. Like, you know, I don't like that stuff right there. Emmitt Smith said he played for the Dallas Cowboys running back, all-time leading rusher. Emmitt Smith said, went the first time he scored a touchdown in the NFL, said he danced around and everything. When he got his daddy, called him to the side, said, look, boy, he said, act like you've been there before. And he said, yes, sir. He said, after that, you know, you never did see all that from him. He might run in there and be happy, throw the ball down and all that, but he didn't do too much extra. Dad done straightened him out, you know. So we live in a world like that. It's self-centered. It's self-glorified. It's the opposite of humility. And so I think if we're that way, you know, you have trouble saying just simple words to somebody like thank you, much less thanking God. The antithetical verses in the Bible to thanksgiving is found in Romans chapter 12, chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 1, and down in verse 21, the Bible says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, verse 21 there says, when they knew God. Now, that doesn't mean that they knew God in the sense of a relationship, a personal relationship with God, but it means that they knew God, the fact of God, that there was a God. Listen, I always believed that. I was never an atheist. When I was growing up, I always believed there was a God. I wasn't saved. I didn't you know, I mean, I wasn't an atheist. I knew there was a God. But I didn't know him in a personal, intimate way. I hadn't put my faith in him. I hadn't trusted him. And it said here with the world today, and that they're speaking about even in those days, but even in the day we live in today, that when they knew God, not spirit-filled, born again, like we know, but we have this capacity. Listen, man, we were talking about this in Sunday school hour. Bible says that man is made in the image of God. It's not the way we look, crying out loud. You know, God doesn't look this bad, right? I mean, it's not our appearance. We're made in the image of God characteristically, internally, that we have a capacity for God. We have a capacity for worship. Some people don't believe that, but that verse right there would point out differently. They didn't know God in a personal way. They didn't have a relationship with God, but it said they made God into an image made like to corruptible things, you know, four-footed beasts and all this. They made idols. Why did they do that? Because they had a capacity or they had a knowledge that there was a higher being and they wanted to worship something. In other words, the ability to worship is within man. So we have that. We have this capacity for God and this inclination to worship. And Jesse talked about this morning about just being out in the woods and it's like the light, seeing the creation that God has. We see that. But what happens is man, apart from God, is not satisfied with that. That's why when they made idols in those days, when the idol worshipers, they had many gods. Why? Because the one God didn't satisfy. See, boy, isn't God good to us? We only got to have the one God. That's it. One God. So it didn't satisfy them. They weren't satisfied with the light that God had given them and the simplicity of the gospel. You'd be surprised at how many people are dissatisfied with the simplicity of the gospel, that we're saved by grace through faith, putting our faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, if you don't attach something on it, there's more people would get saved if you told them that they had to build up their muscles and stand on their hands and do a handstand and walk all the way around the room and do that three times and you're going to go to heaven. There were more people trying to get to heaven that way than just believing, putting their faith in the one true God. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith. Some people don't get that. They just don't get it, and because it's the simplicity. They weren't satisfied with that, so what did they want to do? Man, they wanted to cut themselves and do some kind of physical torture to themselves, beat themselves, throw their babies down into the mouth of volcanoes to appease the gods, all the things that you think about they could do. And by doing that, what happens is if we don't recognize God, the one God to give our thanks to, guess what? And we decide to make a God of our vain imaginations that it's speaking right there about in Romans. If we don't recognize that God, then what we have done, we have elevated ourselves above God. We become vain in our imaginations, thinking that we know more than God knows. And we create this God in our imaginations. That's one of the problems with the world today. I've been in arguments with people, believe it or not. I've been in arguments with people about, you know, they know a little bit of the Bible, so they throw the Bible in and this and that. It's what the Bible says along with what they think. What the Bible says along with what they think. And they think based on what? Just they think that they're so smart that they can understand God. That's what we do. And so listen, everybody, they professing themselves to be wise, it says in Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise. Listen, everybody that rebels against God is doing that right there. If God says do this or don't do this, and you do the opposite of what God says, you are professing that you know more about things than God does. You are professing yourself to be wiser than God. This will be better for me than what God says. Doing this will be better for me. Or not doing it, what God tells me to do, will be a better thing. It's the same. It's a rebel no matter how you look at it. That's just the way it is. The greatest honor that God did to man was make him in his image. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday School Hour. The fact that God made us in his image, gave us the capacity to worship, gave us a will. God gave us a will. Some people don't believe that. But I can tell you, I always ask them this right off the bat. Well, let me ask you something. Do you always do what God tells you to do? And they say, no. I said, see, you got a will. You didn't do what God told you to do. That's simple. Simple. Basic stuff. God made us in his image, so we have this capacity to worship. And we have a capacity to have a relationship with God. God gave us a will, too. And he didn't force us. He didn't make us love him. Some people think that if we love God out of our free will, that somehow it robs God of his glory. Like, we get some of the glory. But let me ask you this. If I made a person, if I was God, and I made a person and I just made them, they had to love me. It was a robot. I programmed it into your brain that you had to love me. Would that give me more glory, or that I created you and gave you a will and you love me because you want to? That would be more glorified. That would glorify God and does glorify God. And I believe that that's the way it is. Because God made us in, because God is sovereign. We're made in his image. God is a sovereign God. God has a will. He does what he wants. And we have a will too, because we're made in his image. And God calls us to him, and we have a will. There'll be people that would argue, educated people, that would argue against that thought. But that's the way. You'll never convince me otherwise, because that's what it said. The greatest honor God did to man was made him in his image, and the greatest dishonor man has done to God is that he has made God in the image of man. We have made God in his imagination, or something that we have created, the golden calf, whatever that may be. There's the results of being unthankful. Back in our text, in Romans, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful. It says they glorified him not. And then it goes on to say their foolish hearts were darkened. There it is. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And in Romans 1:28, I didn't read that. It says, as even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are convenient, or the things that they wanted to do. And so they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. What do you think's behind the outlawing of a manger scene on government property? Huh? Or we can't say it's Christmas. We have to say the holidays. What holiday is it? Christmas or Thanksgiving, right? I mean, it's one, they don't outlaw that. It's because this world, this darkened world that doesn't want to acknowledge God in their pride, doesn't want to acknowledge God, to give God thanks and give God any glory for anything, is wanting to try to get it out of their, they don't want to see it. We've got to get the Bible out of schools. We've got to not have prayer in places, or we can't entice anybody to pray. We can't have a manger scene on because we're promoting a religion. No, we're not promoting a religion. We're promoting Jesus Christ. It's called Christianity. I tell you what, God would bless this country like nobody's business if we'd get God back into where he ought to be. They want to get it out of their mind. And we can't have the Ten Commandments in a courtroom on a wall. It's offensive to somebody. A cross on a hill, it's offensive. Just some years ago, there was a cross out in San Diego on this big hill. Some atheist bought a house across the way from it, and then he tried to file suit and saying, "Well, listen, this cross is offensive to me. They need to take it down." And there was a judge with a brain sitting on the bench. He said, "If it's offensive to you, why'd you buy a house across from where you could see it? Why didn't you buy a house somewhere else? I mean, Pete's sake, I'm glad somebody's got a brain. You know, that settled that deal. Threw the thing out, man, get out of here." That's what I'd have done. Anyway, there's results. So not glorifying God. You don't, in your heart, when you're unthankful, you're already not glorifying God. Your heart, it gets darkened. And we don't really want to retain God in our knowledge. We want to think about God. And we don't want to give God any glory for anything. I did it all myself. That's what people say. You know, that praise is part of thanksgiving. Man, just thanking God, man. I'm going to tell you what. You get down in the, anybody ever get down in the dumps? You know, I heard a joke one time. I think Red Skelton told it when he used to have Red Skelton had a TV show. He said, his wife told him, said, "Yeah, I was down in the dumps today, so I bought a new hat." He said, "I was wondering where you got it." But you get down in the dumps, you get aggravated at everything. I know it's rare, but does it ever happen? Just aggravated? I'll tell you what, do get out of it. Just start praising God. Just start thanking God for something. Thank God that you're breathing. Thank God that you got a pulse. Just thank God for another day of life. Thank God for salvation. Whatever, you know, just start praising God. And I'll tell you what, before long, Man, you snap out of it, huh? You can just snap out of it. So praise is part of giving thanks. Just it's really, I guess, praise and thanksgiving. I don't think you can separate that. That's what praise. You know, we can praise God not only for what God has done. Sometimes, see, we get self-centered even in that. And there's a lot God's done to be that we can be thankful for. But sometimes just praising God for who He is. I mean, that, you know, just who and what He is. The profoundness that a God Almighty would even have a thought concerning you and I. Brian talked about in Sunday school the profoundness of the fact that God wanted to have a relationship with somebody like us and the millions and millions, a multitude of people that God thinks of us individually, not just as a mass of humanity. Man, that's something else. So we see the who of Thanksgiving. Boy, God is the one. God is the one. Boy, I'm telling you what, we sat down, we went to this restaurant where we go deer hunting, and buddy, they had a spread. We signed up. I knew we was coming back. I said, I got five of us coming. We picked a time slot, to even let me adjust it a little bit. And we went down there and we had turkey and dressing and gravy. Good gravy, wasn't it? Murray said she didn't like gravy, but she liked that gravy. It was good. It had sweet potatoes, green beans. You got a choice of pumpkin pie or apple cake to apple, and they were both killer. And a drink for $13.99. Can't beat it, right? Didn't have to prepare nothing. Didn't have to do no dishes. I told Sherry, it was great, man. And they would even bring you out like home style. After you ate, they brought all the food to you. And if you wanted more, they'd come in and bring you some more. If you wanted more turkey, whatever. I mean, it was good. Couldn't beat the price. Didn't have to clean a thing. But you know what? We could be thankful that, guess what? Had enough money to pay for it. Had enough money, you know, that somebody else, thankful for somebody, was working on Thanksgiving where we had a place. We're in a campground. It wasn't going to be, you know, hot dogs just don't cut it on Thanksgiving Day, right? But we were thankful for that. So we could thank God for everything that, we have money to buy the food, and we have health to eat the food. There's some people that can't even eat the food. I remember that one of the guys at the Bryan Center, he was ALS. He had ALS, you know, and he got to the point where he couldn't eat, had a little food bag. I've been in there. They had a little thing just attached to his stomach, and they poured this old milky-looking mushy stuff in there and squeezed it down into his stomach. That's how he ate. Couldn't swallow. Huh? Thankful that we can eat our food and take care of those things. I mean, that fellow since passed away. I preached his funeral. His name was Dan Wright. Loved the Bee Gees. He liked to listen to the Bee Gees. But that's the who of Thanksgiving. And then we think about the why of Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I saw a commentator had written this and said, they pointed out that this verse says, in everything, give thanks, but it doesn't say not for everything. And they said, I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy it says anything that we give, in anything we can give thanks, but we, you know, it doesn't say not for everything. But I thought real quick, and I said, no, I think the Bible says that in another place, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says in everything. Ephesians 5:20 says for everything. Because I don't care what you're in, I'm going to tell you what, God either caused it or God allowed it, and God's got a purpose for it, and we can give God the thanks and glory for everything. And you're thinking, I mean, I'm telling you what, sometimes the circumstances, you know, are not you know, you have to think about it. I mean, I know experientially, I know myself, that there's times that it seems hard to see how to give thanks for everything. You know, and you know what I'm saying. It's just like in every circumstance, you know, you think about a loss of a loved one, is particularly around the holidays. It always seems like something happens like that around the holidays. Just had Kenny King, Philip, Christine's cousin, right? Yeah, Kenny's cousin, nephew. Okay, that's right. Demeter's listening. It's hard to get that family tree straight. The nephew, and your mom and dad right around the holidays too. I remember that they passed away. My dad passed away right before New Year's Day. Colin on Danielle's birthday right around Thanksgiving. We experienced that, and probably a lot of you guys have as well. And or even if it's not around the holidays, sometimes you think about the loss of your loved ones. I think about my parents all the time, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But You know, we think about, well, how is it? How do we give thanks, or how is it, can we be thankful when there's circumstances that are heartbreaking that we may be going through at a particular time, particularly around Thanksgiving? Well, we can cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. We can do that, and that's what we need to do. Faith is daring to believe that God is working everything for our good, even if we can't see or feel that way about it. That's what really faith is. Faith is believing that God is working everything for our good, even when we can't see or even if we don't feel like that at the particular time. So we think about, how do we cultivate this spirit of thanksgiving? It's a choice. Paul and Silas, boy, I love that story in the Bible, in Acts, man. Paul and Silas arrested for preaching the gospel, thrown in the dungeon. Not only in the dungeon, they were at the bottom of the dungeon. Everything goes downhill, so you just get the picture right there. And they were at the bottom, they were in stocks, and at midnight, the Bible says what they choose to do, they just chose to praise God. They started singing, they were singing praises unto the Lord. Man, the jailer heard it. You know the story. Boy, what happened? The jailer brought them out. It was an earthquake. They didn't go anywhere. They stayed there. The jailer was going to kill himself. He said, hey, don't kill yourself. We're still in here, all the other prison. And he said, man, what must I do to be saved? Not only did he get saved, his whole family, because they were down there. They weren't moaning and groaning about their circumstances. They chose to praise God. I love that story right there. And it was a powerful testimony to those who heard. And so what we do is, how to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving is, we can choose to quit focusing on our problem and choose to focus on God. We start thinking about this. If God allows anything, and he does, there's a reason for it. What is it? What is the reason there? Like I said, you know, I think about my parents a lot. My mom loved Christmas, my dad. And I used to think, well, it's bittersweet. But, you know, over the years, it's just got to become sweet. I mean, I still miss them. I do. And maybe it's still bittersweet. But the sweet is bigger than the bitter. I'll tell you that right now. Think about it. Somebody, they had a walnut cake. My dad was a good cook. Y'all probably don't know. But, I mean, my dad could make a walnut cake. He made a killer applesauce cake. My dad could make fudge. My dad made killer spaghetti sauce. He could cook. And so around the holidays, man, I think about that. If I get a walnut cake, man, it's like, man, my dad could make them applesauce cake. It was one of them ones that was dark brown. Just, you didn't have to have it. You could just stick your fork on the side of it. And it would stick to it. You could pull the piece out. It would stick right on there. I mean, it was good, moist. I mean, it was moist. And so we think about that. It's just got to become sweet. I don't focus on my mom being in the hospital. I don't focus on what happened with my dad. I just focus on when they were alive, the life that they had. I mean, the life that we had together. Think about it a lot at Christmas time. And it is a blessing, man. What a blessing that is. So we focus on God and the goodness of God and what God allowed, the goodness of God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." We can think about that. God's thinking about us in the trial, in the storm. Psalm 84:12, "So Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." So we can focus on God. We can put our focus on him. We can look for the blessings. The next thing, we can look for the blessing within the trial, that there's a blessing in the trial somewhere along the way. When we lose a loved one, we can focus on the time that we had instead of the time we lost. We always wanted to be more. My mom was 80. If she'd have died at 100, I wish she still lived longer. Larry Woods called me the other day. He was telling me about his mother. I said, "How old was your mom?" He said, 92, which I knew she was up there. I knew she was close to that. And I was kidding with him. I said, "Well, she should have taken better care of herself. You know, not she'd have lived to be longer." But it doesn't matter what age it is. It's still, you wish it'd just be a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. If it's 80, 90 wouldn't have been enough. 100 wouldn't have been enough. In our mind, we wish it had been longer. But man, I look back and I'm thankful for the time I had, all those years we had. Some people don't get 80. Some people, it might be less. But whatever time it is, it just, you know, it's just a good thing. And we think about that blessing right there. And then we can ask a question, you know, what is God trying to show me? Now, listen, I say this all the time. God's a multitasker. It may not be just one thing. That's the great. God can be teaching you several things at one time if you just look and see and say, you know what, God's God's got me going through this, for a reason. With everything that was going on with Mike, he is texting me, and he sent me a text, and I forgot what he said, but I said, remember, there's no testimony without a test. And he sent back, he said, I think I'm having the exam instead of a test. I think I'm having an exam instead of a test, you know, and that's a big test as well. But that just, there's a reason there. There's things and that we learn about. And so God shows us things in the trial, multitasking. What maybe the lesson is to shift our focus off of ourself and get it onto God. Maybe that's what it is. Just to get our focus off of ourself, our agenda. We have that saying, well, you know, sometimes man won't look up till God gets him on his back, you know. So sometimes our agenda has to focus. God has to do something, and God is doing something. And the blessing is that God notices that. He notices that our faith isn't where it ought to be. He notices that our relationship with himself, he knows if our relationship is what it ought to be. And he says, listen, I'm going to help you. I'm going to draw you into a better relationship, and I'm going to help increase your faith. Whatever the problem is, God said, listen, I can do that for you. And I want to do that. And that he wants to do it. It's not, it's not like God, a lot of people say, oh, well, God doesn't care about me. No, God does care about you. God cares so much that he may put you in a trial to get you to focus on him and the love that he has for you. And God may put you through an experience, that's going to increase your faith somehow, because God wants you to have faith. You know, so boy, the fact that God would even care that much, be that concerned to be and to intricately work out every little detail around this so-called problem that we have or crisis that we have in life, that God's getting us to see some things. You know, maybe that's what it is. And, there's always something there. We can be thankful for that God is not frivolous about our life and doesn't care about us personally, or God's so busy with everybody else that he doesn't have time to dedicate himself to me. I mean, think about that. Boy, this is great. Listen, I'll tell you another thing experientially. God's never closer to you than when you're going through a trial. Huh? When Jesus was in the boat with them disciples in the storm, I mean, listen, you'll never feel any closer to God than when you're going through something in your life and you can't explain, you don't know why, you know, you got questions. And it's okay. It's okay to ask questions to God about things, but you feel his unchanging hand, holding on to his unchanging hand. You can feel that in the storm. And what a blessing that is. That's a sweet time right there. In our text, we see there are several things that to give God thanks for. And I'll read those to you there and back in Colossians, and where I read at the very beginning. It said in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance. That means, listen, when God saved us, he just didn't leave us like we are. Man, he gave us the righteousness of Christ. He put that on us. He put his spirit within us. He made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance, which is heaven. Give us that righteousness of Christ. And then I like this, and the second thing is, he went on to say, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. I got that underlined in my Bible. Who have delivered us from the power. Some people think that God has just delivered us from the penalty of sin, but he's also delivered us from the power of sin. And man, never forget that. There's people that don't believe it. Man, listen, if he's delivered me from the power of darkness, I mean, man, from the power of Satan, that we've got deliverance from that. Boy, there's something to be thankful about. In other words, we don't have to sin there, because we're delivered not only out of, but from the power of darkness. It tells us right there in that text. And he took us from darkness and he brought us into light, which light is also the truth. And boy, just think about that. This is a great thing, what God has done for us. It's something to be thankful. No matter what happens in your life, you can be thankful for that if you're saved. And then translated us into the kingdom of Christ. He went on to say that. He translated us, moved us from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Christ. We have a new home, a new master, a new song, a new name. The Bible said we're going to get a new name that only, you know what? Jesus, we're going to get a new name that only God and you know what it is. Huh? A new name. You ever wonder what that is? Oh, man, I mean, just think about that. We're going to have a new name. And we got a new song on our lips, and a new master. Boy, what about that? And then in verse 14, it said he redeemed us, that he paid for, we are paid for by his own blood, redeemed us from the curse of the law. He forgave our sin, the Bible says, as though it never happened. Huh? God's not, God, you're not going to be in heaven and God say, well, you know, remember that one time? It would be more than one time. You remember all those times? You know, he's not remembering that. Said he cast him in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more forever. He's forgiven our sin as though it never happened. And then in verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created. All things were created, even you and I. And in verse 70, by him all things consist. You know, the scientists can't even figure. I love to use the stuff from outer space. When I was in third grade, I wanted to be the first man on the moon. I didn't make it. Somebody beat me to the draw. And I gave up on it after that. But all they say the way that, think about this. You ever spin a top? Remember the old, you got to go way back. This is going to age you right here. Remember the tops? You wrapped the string around them and you flung it down there and you had to do it just right in the thing? That thing would spin, but it wouldn't spin forever, would it? Now, scientists, the lost scientists today are telling you how many billion years old the Earth is, and it's not that old. That's a lie. But it's old. How long has the Earth been staying on the same 24-hour circuit? It's spinning at the same speed for thousands of years. How's that happen? Big giant up there somehow. I got a big old top thing. Even your top didn't stay at the same speed, did it? And slow down. By him all things consist. The sun. You ever think about this? The sun. They look at it with telescopes with filters on them, and they can see the gases coming off the sun. They can see it flying off the sun. I'm getting out of the picture. My video man's got to come up. The gases are getting out of the, you know, just you can see them coming off the sun. How much gas? You know, now if you had a big old ball of propane, giant, big as the sun, a big old ball of gas, and you hit a match on that, how long would that burn? Boom! Be gone, wouldn't it? The sun been glowing, shining light and heat for thousands of years. Never gets any dimmer. Never runs out of gas. How's that happen? By him all things consist. Huh. These are just the basics, man. Listen, some scientists could probably rattle your brain with stuff. All of those things in place. We got meteors shooting through the sky sometimes, but the stars are just sitting out there. By him all things consist. I could do a whole message on that. On by him all things consist. Listen. And by him all things consist. You know what? I'm going to live just as long as God wants me to. Amen. Just as long as God wants me to. We have a whole lot of things to be thankful for. A lot of things to praise God for. I mean, in the midst of it all, listen, telling you about, you get old and aches and pain. Hear me and Les are down there at deer camp. And you sit out there deer hunting in the cold air. It's not real conducive to arthritis in your neck. It doesn't help that a bit. So, you know, you turn like this. Randy was in the car. Les almost pulled out in front of somebody because he couldn't turn his head far enough down there to see if somebody's coming. So, yeah, I did the same thing. I almost pulled out in front of somebody because I can't turn my neck. Your neck's all stiff and you're trying to. But you know what? Hey, I'm still thankful. You know what? I'm thankful I got pain. You know what that means? I'm still alive. Right? I'm still here. So I'm thankful for that in the midst of it all. A lot of things. We can just praise God for it. Amen. I hope all of you here are thankful. Let's all stand. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some